Welcome to The Parent Equation with me, Aisha Murray, the podcast series where working parents share their unique stories of raising a family alongside their careers. The conversations I'm privileged to have are inspiring, uplifting, emotive, and most of all, honest. So I hope you enjoy listening as much as I enjoy recording them. So welcome to The Parent Equation. And today, this is a bit of a pun. It wasn't intended to be a pun. You are going to get two for the price of one, because I have got Becky Candy and Leanne Chalmers from the John Lewis Partnership. So welcome both. Now, Becky and Leanne are co-leads of the Working Parents Network in the John Lewis Partnership, which when I found out that John Lewis has this as an offering, I was pleasantly surprised and slightly annoyed that actually not more companies have this as an offering to their working parents. So I would obviously love, the first thing to talk about is, how did it come about? How has the network started? What do you do as part of the network? How does it benefit all of you guys? So that'd be great to know a bit of background into that.
Becky, you can do the backstory since you've been there longer.
I've been there forever. So yeah, the network, so the Working Parent Network is one of seven of our diversity and inclusion networks, which cover the protected characteristics, which are set up about, I'd say in sort of 2016, I would say 2015, 2016. And it was really just to have that representation there, so that there was a community. Obviously, when they started, they were really quite small groups. And I joined the community back in 2016 when I returned from my maternity leave. And there was probably about 500 members of our group at that point in time. Initially, I think it was set up of just sharing some information, a little bit of a community space. And since 2016, it really has grown in everything that we're actually doing, actually the support that we can provide. It's run by partners for partners. Obviously, our employees are called partners at the John Lewis Partnership. And it really comes out with an idea, because there isn't a huge amount of governance. An idea can just sort of spring up, and you can just do it, you can trial it, you can experiment, which is really freeing within an employment space to be able to do that. And you know, as part of that support piece, we set up a number of different areas within there. You know, I suppose our first one was really the working parent buddies side, which started off with, you know, when I came back from mat leave, I was really lucky because I had a really great line manager and some colleagues around me who were those people who you could go and chat to and sort of say, you know, how do I apply for flexible working, or, you know, how do I manage this? You know, you're constantly being contacted by your childcare provider that you've got to leave. You know, how do you manage that? And, you know, sort of sprung up the idea that a buddy really can help you talk some of those non-work issues through, related to work. And we literally, on our community space, we post out an idea, who wants to be a buddy? What offer can you do? And, you know, all these years later, we've got over 70 buddies across our partnership who provide a vast amount of support.
I think people want to be involved, don't they? People want to help other people. So if you give people permission to do that and the space to do that, then of course people are going to come forward. I think it's when they're not given the opportunity, it's not maybe a natural thing to come forward. But as soon as they're offered that chance, then, as you say, people come forward and happy to help.
So, I mean, Becky spoke about governance, and as much as we don't have any governance and actually we're kind of free to do what we want, we do actually have an exec sponsor in place. Now, that's something that is relatively new, and that's only been around about the last kind of a year and a half to 2 years. We're really lucky in that our exec sponsor is Andrew Murphy, who is a dad. And actually, Andrew is really supportive of the Working Parents Network. He's invested in it. But as well as that, he believes in it, and he'll challenge us, or he'll kind of signpost in the right direction. If we want to go after something, it'll make sure we're really thinking about what we're going after. Is it the right thing? And kind of support us to get there. And that has been something which has really helped us, having the support of Andrew, because he's a good, really good soundboard. So if we've got anything, we can reach out to him. He attends our committee meetings. So actually, he's just another partner in the virtual room, which is amazing, because for a lot of our partners, they would never get an opportunity to be in the same space as an exec member. So that's really good. And the other thing is, we are now part of the wider diversity and inclusion strategy, which is something which is really new to the partnership. So before, it was very much us doing our own thing. And as much as we can still do that, we do now have support of a team who focus purely on diversity. So that will be really good going forward, hopefully.
Yeah. And I know the answer to this question, but just because I want you to say the answer, obviously having something like this in place, having a support network as you do for working parents, must mean that your talent is retained. Your working parent talent is not going to leave John Lewis anytime soon if they've got this on offer.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get any stats, have we, around that?
And it's probably quite tricky with us. So as an organisation, we've been through a lot of restructures in the last sort of year, both head office and like our shop retail space. So it's probably quite hard to, at the moment, unearth retention based on actually that was a restructure and, you know, reason for leaving. So I think that data will probably still come. I think what it does help is that I would say, particularly in the last year where the pressure has really been on parents with homeschooling, with the pandemic. I mean, being a parent is quite tough anyway, and it changes your life. But in the last 2 years with homeschooling, adding that real merging of working from home and your family is literally right there with you. We, as a network, we provided a couple of surveys where we really got under the skin of, you know, how it felt like to be a parent during that specific time. And we gathered lots of different areas about, you know, how supported did they feel? What things could the business do better? What things could their people manager do better to provide that support? As a result of that, there were some policy changes made during the pandemic time of allowing some paid, as a last resort, you know, you explore other areas first, but there was paid leave for those who had care responsibilities if they needed it during that time as an emergency leave. And what that meant was that retaining piece, sort of coming back to your question, means that parents are feeling more supported in that workplace. They know that they have a voice, that they can come via the Working Parent Network, and that got heard by our exec team to actually make those changes. So it's, we're really in touch with what the parent need is. And certainly where we talk with our learning and development team around training, I was having a conversation only yesterday with them about, you know, how can we create this allyship between people managers and parents, or any other diversity and inclusion characteristic. That, I think that journey makes it easier. Why would people want to leave?
Yeah.
If you're a parent, it wouldn't be that reason for being a parent that you can't get flexible work and you can't get that empathy. I should imagine it's a bit tougher in some areas of our business. I think, you know, an operational area is tougher because you have to be present on the shop floor. You know, you have certain hours that you can do. So I think it's quite different in different pockets of our business. But yeah, I think certainly having the network there does help that voice and what is needed to come through right to the top.
Yeah, and again, it's having the space to, like you said, of course, not everyone can be as flexible depending on the kind of job they're doing, but at least they know there is a space for them to air anything they have or any challenges they have when it comes to being a parent. And again, that in itself is an amazing step forward, I think, compared to a lot of companies that I've worked for and come in contact with.
And I'll let Leanne jump in on here, so it's not just me talking all the time. But another survey that we did was around parental leave. And last year, we introduced our equal parenthood policy, which I'll throw a bone over to Leanne. She'll be like, oh, why have you sent me that one?
So I mean, that's something that you were trying really, really hard for a number of years, wasn't it, Becky, to kind of influence and actually change? Because going back to kind of pre the new offer, we were really mediocre in terms of what we were offering. Do you know, a lot of companies such as Aviva and Tesco and people like that were offering so much more to parents. And actually that, when we were trying to attract the right calibre of people as well, we weren't going to get those people because actually that offer just wasn't enough to hook people into the partnership. So actually, when we set out to influence the equal parent proposition, Andrew was really honest in terms of, you might not get what you want right away. So we did have to set an expectation that actually we'll really kind of drive this, we'll see what we get, and actually that could be a starting block. But when it came out, Becky and I were actually in tears because we were so pleasantly surprised that we had got what we wanted plus some. You know, because there, as much as there was a bit about equal parenthood, there was also the bit round about kind of phased return after having a long period off, such as maternity leave or paternity leave. But as well as that, there was a bit round about bereavement as well, where people were entitled to 2 weeks paid leave following the kind of death of a child as well. So things like that, we just didn't think we were going to get that. So that was huge for us. Yeah. And it's been really well received.
And that must be, I can imagine why you're in tears, because as you say, this is not just a bit of lip service. It's not just a few coffees with fellow parents, is it? So you're changing policy and you're changing sort of the direction of the company as a whole, which must be hugely satisfying if you give yourselves a chance to actually celebrate it and pat yourselves on the back from time to time.
But what was really rewarding was that the partnership were really investing in parents, because, you know, obviously it was a cost to the business to invest in equal parenthood. And that's why we weren't 100% sure whether we would actually get that aspiration. But it was that real desire that, you know, as an organisation, that we are powered by our purpose, really, isn't it? And how can you be an ethical organisation if you're not prepared to look at parents, you know, in a gender neutral perspective, that they've become parents and they deserve that extra or that equal rights to be in parents right at the start of that journey. Yeah. Whether you've been the birth parent or the, you know, you're the co-parent, it's really important. And that investment and that that view that we were, that as an organization we were really embracing parenthood as a welcome asset to our organization. It's the emotional hit for me, really.
Now, you two do this as, it's not your main job, obviously. You have jobs within the John Lewis Partnership. So this is an absolute, I suppose, for your passion project and something which you choose to do as well as your main jobs. How does that work for you, I suppose, in the capacity you have? How does that work for you in your flexibility? Because obviously you both have kids. And I suppose what I'd like to understand is how can other people in organizations who are thinking they would love to have this kind of thing for their companies, how can they start to go about creating something while still managing their day job on the side?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, when I first joined, I was actually on the Working Parents Committee. So for me, it wasn't as full on a role, I suppose. And then the summer, not last summer, but the summer prior to that, in the middle of the pandemic, the other colleagues of the Working Parents Network left and I was headhunted by Becky to actually say, listen, like to step into this role, we think you'd be a good fit. So actually I had just stepped away from another voluntary role that I did round about democracy, and I was looking for something to fill that void. And being a parent and actually being so passionate about everything that entails, I didn't even hesitate. But it was funny because they did say that it could be as much or as little as I wanted, but actually me being me, it was 110% or nothing. So actually it does take a lot of time. It does mean that you have to be organized and that you need to really manage your diary and things, because we do have day jobs, and as much as we wish this was the day job, it's not. Because this is our sole work and this is what we are passionate about, what really drives us to get out of bed in the morning. So it is about balance, but at the end of the day we do spend a lot of our own time doing it. We can often be found at 5 o'clock in the morning on social media sending each other's messages saying, I've had this idea, what about this? Or, and actually sometimes the best ideas, we think about them in the morning and by the end of the day we've got a plan, we've got a guest booked, and it's set in stone. So we are quite fast workers. When we've got an idea in our heads, we like to go with it. But I mean, anything is possible if you have passion. We don't have a huge committee, and Becky and I do a lot of it ourselves. However, going forward, we're hoping that will change, and we can support our committee to really do more to allow us to actually go after more. It's definitely possible if you have passion.
It doesn't feel like work, does it? And that's the joy. And that's probably because it is a personal passion for both of us. Yeah. And we're both love helping others and sharing that support anyway. Do you know, but it's just fascinating for us. I mean, we've managed to talk with some amazing guests and I've learned so much more, and I've then gone, oh, maybe I'll try that with my parenting. So from a purely selfish way, I'm like, oh, I've got this great opportunity to learn more stuff about being a parent for myself and talk to these guests and have this input but it's like sharing that. So it doesn't really feel like work, but yeah, it does take a lot of time. And there are moments when your day job, you're like, oh, that's going to get in the way, because it's really exciting things you really want to dive into or research. I think as our committee, and that has always been a problem with our committee, is actually finding that time, because our committee, again, is built up of parents. Mm-hmm. And we all know that time flexes up and down. And with our committee, we've always sort of been really quite clear that message of you can do as much or as little, because what we'd rather is people have input for what they feel passionate behind and where they want to add their value and where their skills come naturally. I'd say if you're advising another company on that, was actually, you almost cherry pick those people in your committee about actually getting that diverse mix of skills, of talent, of experience, of different ages, different experiences in parenting. So on our committee for a while, we had somebody who was a foster parent. You know, you've had a variety of different stuff, and that then adds to that idea pool of right now, how do we want to focus and support, you know, the community over the next year. And we've got a year plan. Actually, we're really proactive this year. We've got a whole year's worth of activities we want to get behind. And I think this year we can be a bit more structured, say, actually, right, well, which ones do people want to get behind and do? And then we can divvy out the work a little bit more. Otherwise, yeah, it does suddenly become, right, you've organised all these things. And you think, oh, how am I going to fit it in? But it's the 5 o'clock mornings and the 9 o'clock at night where... Leanne and I go, oh, I've had this idea, or I've seen this, or have you seen that person over there, you know. But it's been great. Yeah
I was looking, obviously looking at both of your LinkedIn profiles and things that I have done over the months, and it is a network you guys have with so many other influential people in the sort of parenting space across all kinds of, as I say, ranges of family setup and company types, etc. So that must be, as it must be fascinating to have that. And I'm not saying it's an in, it's a bit like my podcast. My podcast gives me a great chance to talk to people like you, which normally in my day job, I wouldn't necessarily have that opportunity. So again, this network for you gives you the chance to be inspired by all of these amazing people out there and vice versa. And you're inspiring them as well. So it's a very rewarding part of your lives, this network generally.
Yeah, definitely.
We've read a lot of books, haven't we?
We've read a lot of books, yes. And we've made lots of connections through LinkedIn. LinkedIn has actually been wonderful for us, because I think I was probably more active on LinkedIn initially, wasn't I, Becky? You didn't really use it as much. And I think through LinkedIn, we have made so many connections, and then actually we'll connect with one person and then they'll connect us with others. And that has really grown the network that we have. And that's really, really allowed some of those conversations to happen. And actually, we have had some amazing guests, haven't we, Becky? And we've covered lots of different topics. As you said, there's been things in there such as the NSPCC, because obviously we did one about bullying and online bullying. We've had Elliot Ray, we've had Natalie Costa. So we really have tapped into lots of different expertise that people have to bring different topics to the Working Parents Network. And going forward, there will definitely be more of that. But yeah.
How do you think being part of the network and being immersed in it and having all these connections, do you think it's changed the way you're... Does it change your parenting style at all, do you think?
I think there's been a few key ones, actually, over this past year. And Natalie Costa's session on the confidence and the books and that. You know, I bought the books and I've worked through with them with my son, who's 6 years old. And particularly through that pandemic and through that lockdown, you know, I've seen a lot of, anxiety behaviours from him coming through. And it's actually... using that and that in has actually thought, oh, these are skills that, you know, these are not just their development stages that they're going through, actually there's things that I can do. And regularly, mm-hmm. and what has actually been lovely is there's one or two things that Natalie had said, oh, try this and try that, and the breathing techniques, and that there's, you know, some bits with their hands and counting with your senses, that I was then talking to another one of the mums of my son's school friends, and she said, yeah, her son was saying about doing this, and Thomas had taught her
oh, really?
Son
okay.
how to do this bit. So it's that influence of picking up one or two tips and then you sharing that with your child and then practicing them getting over their anxiety. It has that lovely ripple effect, and certainly feedback I think that we've had through some of our events that we've done, that we've had from our partners who've watched it, where they've said, you know, they've picked up some really great tips from it.
Yeah.
And I think it's given parents, parents' awareness, isn't it, of kind of what to look out for or things to try? Because, I mean, let's be honest, parenting is trial and error. And actually what works for one person might not work. And that's what it's all about. And I think for me, it's given me a bit of insight, I suppose, into a child's brain and what that can mean for behaviour and what different age groups mean, which before I didn't know any of that, you know. So as Becky says, we do this for our community, but also we do this for us because we're parents and we're going through these different life stages or different challenges and things. So yeah, it's some of it's really, really interesting.
I wonder then if you're working for a company who doesn't offer something like this, and I suppose to your point, you don't know this information, you haven't necessarily had the information given to you, or you haven't read the books or haven't been to the talks. I wonder then, how can parents who feel like they want to know more, how can they start to do that if they haven't got a network at work, I wonder?
I mean, I think for us, it really started with sharing information and support, didn't it? That's probably two of the main things. So, I mean, you could start small round about that, because even now that's what we do. We have our community and on that we'll find posts and information that we pop on there. And before you know it, that starts a conversation, and that's people all over. So, I mean, it is really just about starting small, but just, as I said, education, sharing bits and pieces and supporting others. That's
core of our bit is the community, isn't it, really? And as I say, we've built this over, I suppose, we're 2016. It's, you know, it's 6 years or so now. You know, it's been over a number of years, and it certainly hasn't sort of been to this full extent. Last year was a really busy year for us, and I think it actually really came together for us because remote working and the tech was there to actually do events that could be accessible to our whole partnership if they choose to want to either live stream or watch the recordings back later. Previously, when we were doing more local stuff, you'd only have a small audience and you couldn't really get that cut through at a wider organisation. But yeah, I think it is, as you say, it's building that community. What would be a coffee morning? Because even some of our peer support groups, there isn't a special event coming in, but we've sort of thought, okay, we knew there was something with teenagers or new parents through that pandemic. We just set up like a remote call with people just to drop in. Or we did a little bit of a frazzled session, didn't we, through the lockdown of actually, if you just want to come on, there is a safe space. You can come in and you can have a little whinge like you would with your friends somewhere else. That's a safe space just to share that problem, isn't it? And get that empathy or someone listening or someone, or have you tried? So definitely start with the community, share information. And as you say, our connections have grown through that. You just research, look up bits and pieces. But, build it, start small and then keep building.
Yeah, and like I said, it's community, isn't it? It's asking other people rather than feel like it's all on your own shoulders and you're the one who has to go out and read the books or do whatever. Actually, just ask.
But it's knowing that you're not alone as well. I think that's it, because I think as a parent, sometimes if you're going through certain things, if you don't have a friend or family member who's went through that, you do feel quite alone. And I suppose for me, probably last summer, I had my oldest son transition from primary school to high school, and that was such a tough time for me because none of my friends had been through that, none of my family had been through that. So without the Working Parents Network, I wouldn't have had anyone to talk to. So actually those teenager sessions where we dedicated time to talking to that really benefited me as well as other parents, because it was good to know that actually those feelings are normal. That's okay to feel that way, that it's affecting you more than them. And that's the case with a lot of the topics that we discuss, even like the parents in the pandemic, because a lot of those parents had missed out on so much. There was no kind of health visitors coming around to check on the babies, weigh them. There was no classes and things to attend. So actually just getting to speak to other parents to know I had a very similar experience and what that felt like was really, really beneficial to the partners in attendance.
Yeah. So what do you think then have been the main, so you mentioned there the sort of the transition from primary to secondary, which I also went through, like just summer just gone. What are there any other topics that always come to the forefront? I mean, obviously new parents always come to the forefront. Any other topics that you think come up quite a lot for your parents?
I think last year bullying was a big one, wasn't it? We were hearing that in multiple different forums. So bullying and online bullying, I think. And I don't know if that was because the kids were more at home, therefore they were on technology more and things like that. So that was a real worry for parents. The other one that's coming out loud and clear is mental health, isn't it? that's one that we're really hearing quite a lot of, and obviously that's totally understandable after the pandemic and what that's meant for children, especially those teenagers who are social butterflies and they're trying to build their network of friends, but actually they were locked in a room and not having that interaction. So that's definitely a focus area for us for the year ahead.
And the other, I think, again, for us, another big topic, particularly for us, was the dad story and bringing to the fore. And, you know, that was really aided with Elliot Ray and with our Equal Parenthood. But we are really focusing on, and we've had sort of a couple of dad club things where we're trying to get that voice of dads in and them sharing their parenting experiences. Because it's, you know, it's really tough for men to sometimes talk when it's a, you know, a mum's world and, you know, and parenting in their way that they want to. So we're focusing a lot on that in this coming up year, particularly as they're coming out of their sort of their Equal Parenthood. That started November, wasn't it? Starting November last year. So some of those that were taking like the 14 weeks. A lot on that return to work for parents per se, whether it's mums or dads, and actually that flexible working. I think it's really interesting because we had a bit of an article, didn't we, in our last week on some of the dads who are on the equal parent leave at the moment. And there are a couple of things that were coming up of that concern of, oh, should I take the full 14 weeks? So a lot of the conversation that mums have gone through, you know, coming back, how do I face into, I want to now do flexible working. But this is a new arena for dads, particularly in our organisation, because, you know, how will they be perceived when they come back to work? Because they are almost the first cohort of having taken an extended leave, which is brilliant, but that will come with anxieties that come with other bits and pieces. And and I think that's another element that the partnership are offering is the coaching side. So we've got professional coaches, qualified coaches, and they're investing in some coaching skills for some of our coaches on family support and parental support. So I think that will start to launch hopefully as we start to go into that returner piece, because coming back to work and being coached into, right, this is the new you, because you know, some people might find parenthood completely unfazed them, whoever they are. I really want
I don't
to
know who they are because I'm not sure they exist.
Exactly, it knocked me sideways, but in lots of great ways too. But you've got this new dynamic of, you know, who are you as a parent, who are you as the worker, and who are you as you. And actually, Leanne and I, we had another offline
conversation about that just recently.
Late night ones, maybe with a glass of wine, we're having a chat about him. Do I really know who I am anymore? And I was saying, actually, as a solo parent, I don't think in the 6 years I've actually refound me anymore. I'm either me as a mum and that parent piece, or me as a worker, because there's actually, as a solo parent, there is no other in-between time that I can actually really find me as me. And I accept that. That's where it is. But it, you know, but I think any parent, you're often in those two buckets and you're too tired to be you as you for a wee while. But coaching can help unlock that, and that open conversation that, as you say, you're not the only person who's having those struggles. That kind of really helps. So I think that mental health of children, but of parents coping with your children having mental health issues too, it'll be an interesting dynamic over the next year or so.
And actually, a lot of the return to work coaching that I do with clients is exactly that. It's about finding your new identity as a working parent, because it's obviously not just on a practical level, not just priorities and logistics and school runs and nursery runs and things, but actually, who are you now with this whole new, a whole new focus? The decisions you make are no longer just your own. In fact, they impact your child and your family and all these other things. So rediscovering that as a new parent is one of the key things I talk about a lot in my coaching for returners to work. So that's a vital one.
I mean, it's something we're really trying to do, isn't it, Becky? And it's been a huge focus for the last year, because I think for us, we did have a couple of men in our committee, which was good, because actually that we had some kind of male voices within that space. But actually, we know that predominantly our community is made up of females, probably ages 30 to 40, white. So actually, not even just from the dad perspective, but we really need to try and diversify the community so that actually we're hearing all voices. But I think there's definitely a huge piece of work, because we know that a lot of the, I suppose, the operational areas such as distribution will have a lot of dads working in those areas. But actually, those areas tend to be harder to break through because of the types of job they do, because they're maybe in warehouses, they're out on the road. So actually getting to those dads is harder. So we do need to try and think of different ways to actually engage with those people, because there's so many that we're not touching because of the jobs that they're doing. They're not in front of a computer.
That's going to say, you can't jump on a Zoom call, can you?
So no,
get out in the road. Different ways in, or different, like, so different ways they can access the service offerings.
It's kind of how they engage with each other too, because, you know, when we ran the Dad Club, we were like, you know, like men only. We want it to be sort of run by them. As much as we tried to draw little moustaches and their names on Zoom, they sussed us and they went, "No, you're not in." But it's how they engage and how what they talk over. And I've certainly been watching what Elliot Ray's been doing with his you know, the hub and or is it the hub? They call it something, don't they? The retreat or the log. Mm-hmm.
The lodge.
And it was a place, but they also, I think they had an event where they went to, you know, a football ground,
football stadium.
Mm-hmm. It's really around thinking about how dads can engage with each other in the right way, but it's got to be purposeful. It can't be a false thing, you know. We can't engineer that you know, mums might like to chat on a Zoom call and you know, put the world to right with a glass of wine. That might not be how the dads want to connect. So I think we need to definitely get a few more dads within our committee to actually say, right, what do we want to do, what do we want to experiment with, and what could work. I mean, we did sort of a dad a session sort of with Hans and Lee around, you know, becoming a new dad, and, you know, we had about 20 or so dads who were viewing that, and we got some great feedback from them about, you know, there was, you know, one who was, they were even just thinking still about their family, would they want a family in the next few years. So it was really great. They're thinking, right, we're starting to hear dads' voices coming through, or even potential dads, of their thinking of family and what they want to do. So I think there is a community that's starting to build. And I think socially there is, you know, out there beyond sort of the partnership, that a dad thing, the dad emphasis is coming up, and there is this more equal parenthood. I think it's a society issue that is coming to the fore. They don't talk, they don't engage so much, and they don't let out that problem. So we just need to find those right levers that they've got their safe space to do that. And whether that's combining with you know, women there too, we're not really sure what that metric looks like yet, but we're going to try lots of things to make sure we're covering that base.
I was just going to say, I think with the session that we did with Hanson, there was one of the dads on that, and actually he was speaking about the fact that as a relatively new, younger dad, he didn't have those types of conversations with his friends round about how tough it was, the sleepless nights, actually how traumatic the birth had been from his perspective, and all those kind of things. So there's definitely something around really starting those conversations to get dads to open up, because they are forgotten about. And I think even when a woman returns back from work, you do think about the sleepless nights and the fact that they're working on not very many hours sleep, but actually a dad potentially was coming back after 2 weeks and still had the sleepless nights, but you kind of forget about that. So actually it's just about, I suppose, looking at both parents instead of just focusing on the mum purely.
And actually when Hanson was on the podcast a few weeks ago, and he was saying to that point that we discuss all the books historically written for new dads, we're all kind of basically dads for dummies, and, you know, put your beer down and change a nappy, and very, very sort of base level approach, really. And of course it's not like that at all. It was a very sort of old school view of what a dad's role is, and that's not the case at all for most dads these days. So it's as you say, it's working out the levers, working out the approach that works best.
What is the feeling? What is the, because their experience of it is very different. You can imagine being at a birth where you're not participating in it, you know, but it's out of control. It's happening, and you're seeing it from a very different perspective. You're seeing your partner in a very different perspective, and those feelings that come from that, or even the dad. I think one of the issues that's come up is around dad guilt, that particularly pre our equal parenthood, but, you know, going back after 2 weeks and suddenly you know that you're leaving your other half there, who's got a very young baby. They're probably still recovering from the birth themselves. And it's those feelings that then don't get earthed. And how long do those get carried, like a burden and a weight around them? And then they don't think, well, I can't bring that up. What's my problem compared to, you know, my partner who's gone through a physical birth where they're hurting, and so mental health for men often gets put on the back burner, and it's exploring that and what they can then do with that information and sharing it. And you say, we get a lot of input of you're not alone here, and you get a lot of support just by knowing that, oh, this is quite normal, but it will get better. To hear that from other dads who've been on that journey is kind of the linchpin that we want to unlock over the next sort of few years.
Yeah, I remember when we had our first daughter 12 years ago, and the pregnancy was fine, and so you kind of feel a bit rose-tinted, isn't it, looking back now. We're going along together, and you go to your classes, and it's all sort of exciting. Everyone's talking about it. Then we went to the birth. Of course, I went to the birth. I had to give birth.
You can opt out of that one.
And he said he just felt completely ignored by the midwives and the doctors. It was kind of like, so who are you? Can you sit in the corner, please, and just keep out of the way while we deal with this lady? He felt very detached very quickly from the process because they made him feel like he wasn't part of the process. Then, as you say, we got back and I had C-section, so I'd see 6 weeks of not being able to move much. Within 2 weeks, he was back at work, and stressful work, nine to whenever, you know, normal. And then we'd come home and feel like he had to be there for me and for the baby, for Olivia, but he was exhausted from work. And all he wanted to do was just go, oh my God, you know. But he couldn't. He had to be there, and he had to be strong, and he had to look after me and look after her again. So there, for them, it was, for him at that point, it was a 24-hour day, actually. Yeah. And like you said, it gets forgotten. It's almost like the dads can go to work and then it's fine. They can just go and have a bit of banter and they can relax, which is obviously not what happens. So I think being able to, as you said, being able to allow people to talk about that more freely can only be a good thing. And it is normal. It's entirely normal.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so before we wrap up, because it's been, I really hope that what I want people to take from this particular episode is, if you're within a company and you're passionate like you two are about the working parent agenda and for supporting working parents like us, is to start to work out how you can have more of a voice in the company that you work for, and start small, say start collaborating, start a community, to start sort of wherever you can, I guess, to start the ball rolling. And also for any employers listening or any senior leadership teams listening to this, is that it's something that hopefully they can start putting on the agenda from top down rather than from bottom up. And maybe people can meet in the middle somewhere and start something like you guys have got. So do you have any final words of wisdom or of experiences that you've had being part of this network or anything like that that you want to share before we wrap up?
I mean, I think for me, the Working Parents Network was what got me through the pandemic in terms of being a working parent with three kids at home, because I actually, during the first pandemic, I was a broken woman because I have such high expectations and I don't do things by half. So actually, for me at that point, I didn't feel like I was being a good parent. I didn't feel like I was being a good employee. So I think for me, it's so valuable to have something like this and just know that you've got that platform where you can speak to other people, or as Becky said, you can have a conversation with someone over a glass of wine and just know that actually you're not alone. Yeah. So for me, there's so much benefit in doing things like this. Around about multiple topics. So that was the one for me that really, really cemented just how much these networks can mean. But yeah, round about so many topics, they're valuable.
But the real sweet spot for us is when we had that top-down engagement from our executive, and you know, and all our networks, all of the D&I networks have an exec sponsor. So it's right up, everything is being discussed right up at that board level. And that, I think, has really helped our business actually totally engage with this other dynamic that is happening within the business. And, you know, I know our ambitions as an organisation is to be the most inclusive business there is. And I think that dynamic of having the bottom-up swell of information plus this top-down engagement, but going completely hand-in-hand. So, as you say, Andrew is part of our team, isn't he? He's just part and parcel of making this right for partners. Yeah. It's not a hierarchy when we're in the meetings. It's just we're all bringing our skills to make it a better world for all of us.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this has inspired some people to do exactly that, because it's a wonderful thing. Like I said, when I found out that you had it within the John Lewis partnership, I was just so pleasantly surprised. Wish I'd known about that when I was in marketing and I could have applied for John Lewis back in the day. But again, another reason to join John Lewis, isn't it? To have all these things on offer for working parents and for, or just beyond parents, I say all of the networks that you guys have internally is amazing. So thank you so much, you two. I hope 2022 is a slightly more settled year.
Fingers crossed.
And maybe the Working Parents Network can go past the pandemic and into some sort of new, fresh waters, I hope, for both of you. Yes, so thank you so much. It's been great to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Parent Equation. Please remember to subscribe, rate and review, as every little really does help. You can find me at aishamurray.com or join my Facebook group, The Working Parent Equation, where you'll be part of a great community of like-minded parents, and you're most welcome. Until next time.